We need the blessing of the Lord. We think this morning of, we'll want to go to Matthew 16th chapter, but we're going to have other places too. At the beginning here, I want to recognize how that the Lord, throughout history, the Lord himself is a creator. He loves creating. He loves building. Is evidenced by the world we live in. It's a beautiful thing what God has done. He wasn't satisfied with just that. When he created man, that was a crowning feature of all his creation was humanity. I believe the reason why he created humanity is because God is love. And love, standing alone, doesn't feel very good. If love is turned in upon itself, and that's the only object it has to love, is itself, it's a selfish thing. But love, by its nature, is something that flows out, as in it is intended to be put at risk, if you will. And God did that in the form of making man. And he gave us the right to say no. He also gave us the right to say yes. This creator made you and I. And that love that flowed out from the Lord was intended to be received by you and I. There's no other of his creation knows how to receive that kind of communion with the Father. No one like you and I. Ain't the animals do always what the Lord told them to do. They're not out of step. They don't say no to the Lord. The trees, they've always done what the Lord told them to do. They've never said no to the Lord. Humans have. Humans is the only one that has went against the Lord's will. Therefore, they needed to be redeemed. The Lord himself made a redeemer and brought a redeemer to you and I. He's a creator, you see. He takes lives. He takes situations that have been ruined, been destroyed, have been maimed by the prince of the power of the air, the powers, the devil that's out there. He takes those type of people and is willing to call them to himself. When there's nothing left, no beauty in them, nothing there that would be comely or something that he would want, but yet in that ruined state, he says, come unto me. And he's able to take that pile of ashes and make it anew. And I believe God takes great pleasure in taking humans in our raw form, our place that we are, our inabilities and our damaged state. He'll take it and forgive and rebuild. And as I've walked with the Lord, I've had to realize, looking back at myself, as I've grown and begin to perhaps see myself a little better than I did 40 years ago when I first started with the Lord, or a little over 40 now, I've looked and realized that I was a very slow learner. Very difficult to deal with. Hard, perhaps, like that block of granite. But yet, the master builder, the master architect, the master craftsman, the one who knows how to take a hard piece of granite and start chipping off and form it into his image, that one is still building. Is still creating. And he's still in the business of saying, come unto me. And he has great confidence that if we can get ourselves in his hands, if we will yield and give ourselves to him, he can take our raw material and form something beautiful. I'm encouraged by that fact. In thinking about this, saw a number of men here yesterday working on the grounds here. I was amazed at some of the things that got accomplished tree came out of the ground. It just didn't pop out. It was pulled out and worked out, and things were moved. And I thought of the effort and the power exerted to try to get that done and clean up the ground and all the work that was being done. And I have to amaze, I stand in amazement sometimes at what power can do. And I think of that physically. You've heard of the term the seven wonders of the world. That has kind of changed throughout history. There's a lot of wonders, more than just seven. One of the oldest seven wonders of the world is considered the pyramids of Giza. It's likely the oldest. Don't know exactly when it was set. I've never been there. I've seen videos and those type of things. It shows it. I've seen men standing beside huge blocks there, and I've marveled and wondered how did people, before they had cranes, before they had the modern equipment, how did they get those stacked on top of each other, and how and why have they lasted so long? That's a testament to somebody. Somebody did it. Somebody built it. It's a marvel to me yet today. There's a lot of things that just I stare at and say, how did men do that? One of the things that was considered a marvel, a wonder of the world, also is known of as the Temple of Diana in Ephesus. It's not there today. It came down. You read about it, it was quite a structure. It was probably around a little over 500 years old when Jesus walked this earth. When Paul was in Ephesus, and you remember they cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians," that was a temple that they were talking about. This structure at that time, it's come down now. But there's been a lot of things that have been very amazing. The Colosseum in Rome, that's one of those things that really, did you know concrete was also employed in some of the building of the Colosseum? And it faded away, the ability to make concrete as we know it today, faded away and came back again later on. But it's amazing what men have given themselves to and accomplished. With all that amazement, there's nothing has amazed me more than what God did in my life when I came to the altar of prayer. Nothing has amazed me more. I don't know how He took that pile of ashes and made something worthwhile. I don't know how He did it. But I thank Him for it. I would remind us that not only God built things in creation and came down, He brought to us Christ. And in Christ, Jesus said He built something too. And I would like to read here in the Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to start with the latter part of the 15th verse. And again, if you don't mind, I'm going to read it out on my phone because it's easier for me. Latter part of the 15th chapter, I want to pick up where He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" This is where Jesus had confronted His disciples and asked them who men say that He was, and they came up with some answers, and Jesus brought it very personal down to them, and He said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And the next verse has brought some controversy in loosely, I say, Christendom of the world. But I don't think it should. The next verse said, and Jesus answered back to, again, was referring to Peter here. "I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some have tried to claim that Jesus, it's clear that he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's what I want us to recognize as part of what Jesus came here to build was a church. Which means a group of people that have heard the voice of the Lord, have been called out of where they are, have been brought to the gospel, have been brought into Christ, and have grown up, have come together because their hearts were knit together as they consciously looked toward Jesus, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And in that relationship with the Lord, they found a brotherhood. And they were able to love one another. And there was a blessing of the Lord. This is what Jesus created. Back at it developed over time that people began to think that what he was saying here, upon this, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There have been some have felt like he was saying that Jesus was going to build his church upon Peter. Well, I think that's, let me be kind, I think that's wrong. I just say it that way. I think it's more than that. I don't think it connects in the mind. God wanted to build his church on something much stronger than a human. So he built it on Jesus Christ. And part of what causes this building to actually, it's where the building meets the foundation, where it rests on the foundation. There is this connection, this spiritual connection, that I see my Lord and Savior. I recognize him and I know him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are my Lord and Savior. Upon that personal revelation and knowledge that God brings to every soul who opens up their heart, who understands his appeal and comes to the Lord, there is a solid foundation that they build their lives on, and it's not Peter. It's on Christ. And they rest strongly on this personal connection, this personal understanding, this personal revelation that we have in Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not just somebody else's Christ, but thou art my Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's a blessing, Peter. The Lord is the one that revealed that to you. And upon this, I'll build my church. Jesus is building something yet today. The church is here. The church has been established. Just because we're inside this building and we have a name out there that says Church of God, that doesn't mean we have to be that. This building isn't the church. And if we're here, it doesn't necessarily mean we're the church. But it's when we have that communion, that personal connection with the Lord, that's what makes us the church. That's also what makes everybody who comes to Christ outside these walls, that's what makes them the church also. Whether it be in Turkey, whether it be in the UK, whether it be in India, whether it be in Africa, wherever a soul has heard the voice of the Lord and recognizes and says, thou art the Christ, the Son. You're my Lord and Savior. That one, and have come in that door through the blood, that soul is part of the body of Christ. And that soul will be led by the Spirit and will be built up together in Christ. And I thank the Lord this morning that He's building. I would like to turn now over into 1 Corinthians, where Paul mentioned something here. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Again, we're going to take a part of this chapter. We're going to start at the 10th verse of the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now this is Paul talking about his own experience, and he's referring it to these people, and he's saying, God, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. And isn't it amazing what grace confronted Paul on the road to Damascus? The change that came in his life. That was a great mercy of the Lord that confronted him there and opened his understanding. You remember what he said right after the Lord had confronted him and brought him low. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" That was an understanding that came out of his mouth of saying, "You are greater than me. I'm lowly. You're a great authority. I need to know who you are. Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, the one who you're persecuting. Well, we know this story. I don't want to get farther down that. But according to this grace that came to Paul, and changed him and inspired him, and also not just that grace, but there was another grace that was demonstrated in bringing revelation to Brother Paul. There were verses that he used to interpret according to the Jewish understanding of it. There was a Jewish understanding that the kingdom of God was going to return, or was going to come back to the Jewish nation, and it was going to be demonstrated in a political way. It was going to be an earthly kingdom like that. And Jesus said that my kingdom's not of this world. Jesus talked to people in this fashion that it's not that he doesn't care about the kingdom of this world, because he does. But he cares greatly about the condition of a man's heart. That's where the seat of evil begins to grow. That's where wrong attitudes build up in a man. That's the area that the Lord came to set on the throne of a man's heart. And there in that man's heart, that the very power and authority of God would come out and cause you and I to stand uprightly, to walk uprightly, to live in a godly fashion. And he will correct when there is an attitude begins to grow within us. He loves us too much. He builds, you see, his church. We understand that it came through Jesus Christ. But that's not where he quit building. He takes individuals. You see, the church is made up of individuals. And he takes us where we are, perhaps sometimes in a very raw material. And he begins to build your life. Folks, I want us to know that where we find ourselves here today, at 11:26, here in this chapel, that I believe that the Lord doesn't want us to stay right where we are. Spiritually. We're supposed to grow in grace. We're supposed to allow the Lord to change us more into his image. Not only allow, but to seek to be changed. Lord, I want you. I hunger and thirst after your righteous ways. And in that hungering and thirsting, there will be, well, he said there'll be filled. There'll be an infilling. There'll be, God himself will come and honor you and I with his presence, with his changing force in our lives. And I'm thankful for that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, he recognized that what the Lord had given him, the grace, not only the personal contact that he had with the Lord, the personal change that came over his life, and it was a drastic change for Brother Paul. Not only was that something that was a grace manifested in his life, the revelation that the Lord gave him, the understanding that he knew was of God, that was real. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but he boldly proclaimed it both to the Jewish nation and to the Gentiles. He told them, according to the grace, he confidently laid down a foundation for them to build on. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now, in this case, he was dealing with the Corinthians. And there had gotten in their midst a certain carnality of spirit. And it's not necessarily, I don't say these are shoved off, these are brethren that are shoved off and thrown out
and expelled. That's not what he was describing to them, the things that were stirring in their midst. And he pointed out to them, this is not right. Because there's some of you who are saying, well, I'm of Paul. And some of you say, I'm of Apollos. And some say, well, I'm of Peter. And it was causing rifts between them. And Paul said, that's not right. We're all together in this. Now, Paul may have had a message that he came and brought to them, and it was a special inspired message. Maybe he laid the foundation and gave them the truth, but then there was some building. Every time when we understand that I can be saved and I come in and I'm saved through Jesus Christ, that's not the place we camp out and stay the rest of our life. There is growth. And along came some others, maybe Apollos, and he had some more to share. And along came Peter with a message that he had to share. It all dovetailed together. It wasn't different than the foundation that was laid. But it built upon it and expanded it in people's minds. And God called them to holiness and righteousness. And it was applied to their lives. And here this was, other things were coming in. I've laid a foundation, another builds thereon. But let every man take heed on your personal level. Let every man take heed how he builds thereon. We should understand that when we name the name of Christ, we begin to bring into our heart our understanding. I hear the scripture and I begin to lay meaning to that. And sometimes it gets interpreted in our minds and can be interpreted in ways that makes room for humans to be elevated. Whether it be me or another person. In our hearts, if it pleases the flesh, if it is elevating me as a human, let me tell us that God intends for us to be cautious about that. At least cautious. That's a warning sign when it makes room for the flesh. It's a warning sign. It doesn't mean that when that's happening in your life that you're suddenly cut off. No, but God in His love comes by to correct those He loves, who chastens, you see. He doesn't leave us without the fatherly hand in our life. He's a creator, you see. And He's able to take you and I and teach us and train us. I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. The fruit of what I'm building, this reminds me. Well, let me say, go ahead and finish this thought. The fruit of what I'm building, if it's askew somewhere and doesn't point toward Christ and His godliness, then I need to look back at what I'm building, what I'm putting there. This reminds me of another icon. Still an amazing structure, but it's something's evidently wrong. You ever heard of the Leaning Tower of Pisa? You know why it's leaning? The foundation was bad. What it's rested, the tower looks beautiful. But here it is, about that attitude in the sky. Hanging over the side. That stands. The building itself looks like a beautiful structure. But it stands as a failure to the master builder. To the one who's something down that it was built on didn't hold up the structure up above. Now Jesus is not ashamed to say you can build on me. Because it's solid. It's true. And we can build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll stand the test of time. It'll stand in this day we live in today. When many ideas flowing around and trying to confuse the minds of our society, I want to tell you, God's still the same. The foundation's still there. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, He hangs in front of our eyes as a plumb line. He hangs there as a truth, as a solid. We can measure
are 90 degree angles from this plumb line. We can build on this one. It's solid, it's true. It hangs right here in Zion. It hangs before you and I, the truth. And we must reckon with it. Not only must we have a privilege because He's here to take our hearts and our lives to the Lord and lay it up beside Him, and we can tell whether we're leaning or not. Thank the Lord. I would encourage you right now, as we think about that, there are people, and we all have different ways of delivering the gospel. I'm not talking about that. But there have been people throughout history that have, by their charisma or by their ability to sway people, they have used that in such a way that they tried to project their ideas on other people and had them obey, ended up having them obey them. I want to tell you today, anybody that's doing that, they're wrong. Jesus Christ has every right to say, follow me. Jesus Christ has every right, and He's not a tyrant in it. He's a good shepherd. He loves people. If we'll just yield our heart to the Lord, the Lord is glad to be able to take us and begin to mend the places that are broken. I thank God for that today. Other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, or silver, or precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. It sounds like he's talking, Brother Paul here is talking about some of the things that we can bring into our building. When I was young in the Lord, I already had probably a couple years or so walking with the Lord, and there came in our congregation a young man by the name of Bob Wilson. He went to Miami Junior College. He was a real good baseball player. Had a lot of natural athletic skills. And was going there on a baseball scholarship. And likely could have moved on up. But he had gotten saved about that same time that he went up there. And he chose that area because there was a congregation near. And he began to come to services there. And he was hungry. He just loved to come to service. He loved to serve the Lord. He read his Bible. It meant something to him. And I saw him build into his life the passion for the word of the Lord. The passion for the Lord. He was willing. Just so open and willing. One time, there was something he had on his person that was something that normally we wouldn't have as a body. It was what we would call one of the standards of the church of God. Well, let me tell you what the standard is. The standard is holiness unto the Lord. Boil it right down to that. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and allow God to bring His holiness into your life. Well, one time, Brother Bob, after a morning service when Brother Clifford Wilson had brought the word, and in that, the Lord, in the word that Brother Clifford just shared that morning, the Lord used that word. He took a little portion of it and applied it to Brother Bob, and he felt convicted of this thing that was in his life. And he came to me afterwards and he said, "You knew that, didn't you?" Well, he said, "Why didn't you tell me?" You know why I didn't tell him? Nobody can tell us like God can tell us. Nobody. And if he'd have done it because I told him, it'd have been the wrong motive. But when the Lord got a hold of him and he yielded hungrily to the Lord, the Lord pours in grace along with that requirement that he has. And Brother Bob grew and grew. He just saw the Lord working in his life.
Well, my structure wasn't quite as diligent as what his was. And he quickly, within a short amount of time, easily outgrew me in the Lord. And it was challenging to me because I realized how passionate, how intentional he was with his walk with the Lord. And it caused me to consider. And I got to thinking about that. I think in relationship perhaps to what we read here. Because it shall be revealed. No. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones. Those sound very valuable. Very important to the structure. Very uplifting. Very glorifying to the structure. Those were all there as building material. Precious stones. Sounds like a good... And we have that at our disposal today. Today, everyone in this congregation has the jewel of hungering for the Lord with all of our heart. That's in the building material. It's right over there. We can hunger for the Lord with all of our heart. We can love the Lord with all of our heart. We can yield our passion to the Lord, and we can put that into our structure. And it will bless our living for the Lord. It will glorify God, not us, but it will glorify God. And we also have at our disposal, maybe not quite so strongly, not quite so passionate, we can feel like, well, maybe I could be perhaps a procrastinator in my spiritual walk and say, well, maybe, you know, I read that and I'm not really, you know, I don't know exactly. I'm not a very good Berean today. I'm not really going to study into that and don't really have a real passion. Folks, we can build that in our structure and perhaps we can still walk uprightly. But it's better. It's better not to put that in our structure. Because there's a day going to come. And it says on down here, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day. Well, what is that day? Well, perhaps there is a judgment day. But there's times that we are confronted with life here before the judgment day. And sometimes that day we're confronted, we come up against it, it will be revealing what kind of building material that I've been building with. It'll do it. And sometimes it'll come with a fiery confrontation that I recognize what I have been doing hasn't been as successful as what it needed to be. And now I'm caught in a place that I'm needing to dig. I'm needing to get down to business. I need to seek the Lord now because I'm needing some answers. Folks, we haven't waited too long to get down. When we realize that, that's a good time to go ahead and get down to business. But it's also a good time to realize that the things that I had built was in my structure needs not to be there anymore. I need to mend that. And the Lord in His loving mercy brings us, the day will declare it, the Lord in His loving mercy brings us to that understanding. So, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, by the pressures of life, or the place that I've found myself in that seems to have fallen upon me suddenly, when the cold chill goes through my veins, when somebody has said, well, you've got cancer, or those things, and we're confronted with it, then we're down to business. One time, my father, back when he was, he had tried to serve the Lord for a little while and really wasn't being very successful. One night, I think it was a Sunday night, he said, y'all go on to church. He wasn't feeling good. He said he had felt pressure in his chest and felt like he may have had some heart issues going on. And he may have, I don't know. But I remember coming home from church that evening and walked in and I asked him, how you doing? He had tears running down his eyes. He said, I'm feeling a lot better. He said, I had heart trouble, but he said it was this heart in my soul. He'd been doing business with the Lord. You see, when the day declares, you see, when the Lord brings us to that close place and the cold chill runs through our veins, said, I have something serious wrong with me, then we get down to business. I say, Lord, help us to be down to business every day of our life. Build the gold and the precious stones. Build that now in our structure. And if we find by the mercy of the Lord, if He shines kindly upon our heart and we begin to realize what I'm really building into my heart is, it's really not going to stand when the pressure's on. It's really not that important. It's really something that's damaging to me. So I'll lay that aside. Why do I lay it aside? Because I love You, Lord. And I'm doing this as an expression of my heart's love. Free will offering to You. You're not making me. You know, I know I could have went on and this could have been damned, but because You stopped by as a loving Heavenly Father, as a good shepherd, and You came by and You said, son, I want you to think about that. Is that really what you want in your life? And You returned and said, Lord, thank You for letting me know. For the joy of my heart, I say amen to You, Lord. I love You and I'm grateful You're willing to take me down the road of life and begin to build. You're building something in me. You're building something in my soul. Thank the Lord for that. Fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Folks, it's a blessing in our soul when we search it in a time of desperate need. And we can say along with Jesus, the prince of this world has come and finds nothing in me. We want to be able to say that. Have a confidence. Been building good, Lord. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall have a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And I know there may be different people have different ideas about that. But I like to think of it as how the Lord himself is working with us individually. And in his mercy, we'll suffer some loss. We'll suffer maybe perhaps some embarrassment, some things that I could have done better, and I look back with regret and say, oh, if I had just been down to business with the Lord, that wouldn't happen in my life. We suffer some loss, you see, but we'll be saved because of the God in His loving mercy has exposed what should have been different in our life. So is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? From this discourse now, Brother Paul shares something else. As a wise master builder now, he shares this. Know you not? Don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So Brother Paul is saying, when he gave this example up above, then he looks at the people and says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? When God comes by to dwell in a heart, we want Him, surely we do to this morning. Don't we want God to feel utterly comfortable in our heart? We don't want Him to feel challenged by my passions or some of my desires looking over the fence and wanting to go and just test the water somewhere else. No, we want Him to feel utterly comfortable in the throne of my heart. Know ye not that your body, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile that temple, which God help us not to do that, not to let anything come in and challenge the great love and authority we have in Christ. Time is going by quickly. Let me go over now to this last reading in Matthew the 7th chapter. And this is at the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount. 24th verse, 7 and 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them. Notice the difference. It's more than just hearing. It's applying. It's obeying. And I know that we can think, well, you know, it's just grace and what obedience is really not in the mix. Folks, I want to tell you, obedience is in the mix. God wants us to obey. It's part of it. Plenty of scriptures point that out to us. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings, and this is Jesus saying it, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. A wise man who was unwilling to build his life on shifting substrata, on a shifting foundation. This wise man says, I want my structure. I don't mean to make it sound frivolous, but because I think the structure that God wants us to build our lives on is much older than the pyramids of Giza. But they're pretty old, and they impress me. They're still there. But God would have us to build our life on something that will last. It'll last the day when the diagnosis of cancer comes to your ears. It will last in the diagnosis of you've got 17% of your heart living, and you're about ready to go. I want a structure that will last those chilling moments. I want a structure that goes beyond this life and camps out in heaven. I want hope to be beyond this life. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. God would have us to love Him and be so founded and so not so personally revealed from God Himself that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon this foundation, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And God wants to do that in every one of our lives here today, individually. This isn't a church if the Lord's not here. This isn't a church if lives aren't changed in His presence. It's just a group of people playing. I want the goods. I want something real. I want something that changes lives. I want to see people passionate to serve the Lord. Maybe I should say that differently. I want to be passionate to serve the Lord. And I want you to too. But it begins in the hearts of every one of us individually, where the Lord makes a change and a difference. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended. Take note now. The rains descended and the floods came. If you will, the testing times, the day that declares who we are. The fire has come now. The shock to my heart and to my mind, to my understanding. It blows upon my house. The floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it stayed right there. It didn't move. It may have felt a little shaky and a little scary, but it didn't move. Why? For it was founded upon the rock. Folks, there's something stronger than the fears of this life. And that's the knowledge, the convincing of my soul that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and You're my Christ. And You have accepted me, and I am Your child. Oh, folks, we need that. We need to build right there and not find just a pleasant feeling. Emotions aren't good enough to build your house on. They're not good enough. They're fickle and will fall when the winds blow. The rain comes and the floods arise. Emotions won't make it. But there is something we can build on.
That's a personal knowledge of Christ is my Lord and Savior. And He is the one who has begun His salvation, and He will finish the thing in my life. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, because for it is founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, they both heard them. Everyone that saith, that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. It's a foolish thing not to regard the word of the Lord. It's a foolish thing to try to say, well, I think I know better, and take my own mindset. Folks, I want to tell you, if we find it in the scripture, and if it's different than what I would like, what I want it to say, let God be true, and every man the liar. It's God's word. That's what we're going to want to face. And I don't want to say that oppressively, but I want to say that as a fact, that in our life, as we build our lives, don't build wood, hay, or stubble in it, but we have the great privilege of today to be motivated by this love that God built in our hearts, this love, this gracious love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts, that would draw us ever nearer and ever greater, ever closer to the Lord. Be like a foolish man when he didn't listen, which built his house upon the sand. Again the rains descended and the floods came, and winds blew and beat upon that house, just like it did to the other. Folks, as humans, whether saved or unsaved, the winds are going to come, the floods. They'll beat upon our house. They're going to shake us to the core. One stands, the other doesn't. The reason why the one stands is because it's founded upon something solid. It's founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. It's not a malleable gospel that can be changed at the whim of society. No, I need to line myself up with Jesus Christ. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger after Him. Follow Him. Second also is likened to it, and I'm going to tell you what. Applying the second part of those two commandments is a big job. When it says, love your neighbor as yourself. We could preach for months on that. And I think the Lord preaches a lifetime to us to apply that to our life. Because there's so many times I can find reason to say, well, that went too far and my love has waned. You remember what Jesus said over there in Revelation to one of the churches? You've left your first love. You got something going on in your heart. Somewhere your passion has waned and you found reason to perhaps not love your neighbor, not let that be expressed as God would have it to be expressed in your life. You've also perhaps you've not loved God with all your heart. It's made fundamental changes in how you act. You know what Jesus said to the churches? Go back and do the first works. Get back there. Get back where you started. Go back there. So this morning, I think the Lord would have us to examine ourselves. He gives us the right to look in the mirror of God. Say, Lord, I want to do this better. One of the things that I've noticed about the church of God, and I'm not talking about today, I'm talking about historically. The church of God, historically, has been a very missionary-minded church. Read the Bible if you don't believe it. The Jews weren't very missionary minded. They were very inward thinking that they were it. They were the chosen people, and they were. And so therefore they didn't try to make proselytes. They didn't try to go out and get other people to come and join them. That's not what they did. But when Jesus came, you remember what He said? Go ye into all the world. You've got a message for the world. I want to tell you today. When Jesus Christ is living within us and the structure that He's building,
is one that loves the souls of mankind across the face of this earth. And is very much missionary, modern terminology, very much missionary minded. And I would ask us even on that to question ourselves, are we there? Do we get complacent? I understand, I'm grateful for all that work. I'm not taken away from that at all. But I think many times the missionary work seems to start in our minds when we take a plane and fly to some distant mission field. Folks, our mission field many times are right close to home. It's both places. It's not just over there. It's right here. Let God be glorified in our life. Pray for me.